Hey, first of all, I want to give a special mazel tov to all the big simchas that we were just talking about. I'm not even going to start mentioning, but there are a lot of chassanim, baruch Hashem, of talmidim. If we start mentioning, maybe we'll leave somebody out. And Yitzchak told us that the freezer's open until this hour. And apparently there's hundreds of engagements with every minute. So, baruch Hashem, a lot of simchas for Klal Yisrael. And halavai, we should be zoiche just to share more simchas and b'shat tov mitzlachas. The right time with the right person, each and every one of you. And that's the ikar when it comes to shiduchim. The right time with the right person. You have to remember that. The right time could be sooner for some. It's not a race. It's finding the right person at the right time. Bez Hashem, everyone should be zoiche. Every single one of you just be simcha and bracha. Alright, let's learn Torah. You have a break. This week, the parasha is Kisisa. Oh. Yudar, you watch us all? Okay? It's you have chairs? We have chairs? Parsha Kisisa, we take a break from the parashas of the Mishkan. And it's a little bit of a difficult parasha. It's interesting that in the midst of discussing the building of the Mishkan and the Big Day Kahuna, the Asli Migdash, the Shechanti B'Soichem, right in the middle is Parsha Kisisa, which so much so is about the Chet HaEgel, which obviously is something very difficult we're suffering from until today. But it must be there's a big chizik in that as well. And analyzing some of the story, all of the story, there must be there's much to take from it and to grow from it. In understanding how to develop that deep relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom, bring the Rebbeinu Shalom into our hearts and into our lives every single moment. And to be Makayim Vasil, Migdash B'Shachanti B'Soicham, and not just B'Soicham when it talks about Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash B'Soicham, as the Sfarim say, B'Soich Kol Echad Ve'Echad. In each and every one of us, the Rebbeinu Shalom has to be with us every single moment. In Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Dalid, we find that after Moshe Rabbeinu already tells Klal Yisrael how they're going to suffer because we're Am Kshei Oref, if you look in the end of Perek Lamed Beis, Vayigaf Hashem Esa'am Al Asher Asu Esa'egal Asher Asu Aaron, that there was a tremendous magefa, a tremendous plague brought on Klal Yisrael. And then Perek Lamed Gimel begins HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us that we're still going to be brought into Eretz Yisrael. However, because we're an Am Kshei Oref, because of how we've fallen and what we've done, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to send with a shliach, with a malach, perhaps, v'shalachti l'vnecha malach, that he himself is not going to lead us in. He's going to send a malach, which he's not going to be as connected to us, that means. And because of that, in Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Dalet, v'yishma om ez adava ara azeh, the nation heard this terrible thing, this terrible news, v'yis'abolu, and they had avelus, they were mourning. And then v'lo shasu ish edyolav, and each person did not put his crown upon his head. Meaning at this point, even after Chet HaEgel, we still had our crowns. The crowns that we received when we said Nasev and Ishma, the crowns, the Gemara and Shabbos, I believe Peches talks about the crowns. Those crowns we still had. But we weren't wearing the crowns. We didn't put them on because we were mourning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to lead us into Eretz Yisrael. And after that, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Emar b'nei Yisrael, Atem am kshei oref, rega echad ela b'kir b'cha v'chi lisicha, v'ata horeid ed yicha me'lecha, v'yisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael as edja me'ar choref. And what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gets seemingly upset at us again that we're such a stubborn nation. And perhaps he's going to destroy us, but for the time being, take off your crowns. He tells us, take off your crowns. In order to seemingly, even though we delayed putting on our crowns, it could be we've then put on our crowns eventually. But he says, take off your crowns. Horeid yechem elecha. And Bnei Yisrael took off their crowns. So it seems from here, and Rav Avram Shor, and one of his svarim, and Alka Halibov, and the Drash Moshe, and Moshe Feinstein before him, asked, it doesn't make any sense. What is this pshat? What does it mean? It seems to be from here, the only reason we lost those crowns, which obviously symbolize a very special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a godless of Bnei Yisrael, was not because of Chet HaEgel. After Chet Egel, we still have these crowns. But something to do with us not wanting and delaying wearing the crowns upset Hashem. And he said, forget it, you lose the crowns. What's pshat? What's going on? Because we delayed putting on the crowns, we lose the crowns. What's pshat? So before we answer this, we have to go back to a famous Rashi. A very famous Rashi. Rashi, in the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, right when Klal Yisrael is all confused. We all know Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim, and he says he's going to go up for 40 days. And Klal Yisrael, they got confused, and there was an irvuv, and they thought 40 days were up already, and that's why they came to Chet Egel. Part of that, as Rashi points out, was what happened. The Satan got involved. And what did the Satan do? You all know it. Where's the Rashi? Inside. Ba Satan, where is it? Ba Satan, right? The Satan came. The irvuv as a olam, he confused, and what did it say? It was, he made... It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Peites, Kemindmus Moshe Haralam HaSatan Shenoysim Oso Bavir Rakiya Shemayim. They made it look like, well, what does Satan do? You all learned this, you remember this, right? Even if you didn't see the Gemara Beferish or the Rashi Beferish, you all heard this. The Satan made it look like Moshe on some sort of deathbed was flying, hovering through the heaven to make it look like Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. And this added to our despair and caused us to go and make Chet Egel, right? However, the problem is as follows. Maybe something we never thought of before. The problem is as follows. Make a little room over here. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says as follows. And Daf Hey Amar Aleph. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Kibli Yisrael Da Torah Ela Kidei Shelo Yehem Malach Amavis Sholot Behem. That we didn't accept the Torah, except, and it's hard to say, I'm not going to analyze what it means, except, and only the only reason, but one of the byproducts of Kabbalah's Torah was that Ein HaMalach HaMavis Shoylet Behem. That the Malach HaMavis is not going to rule over us. That when we had Kabbalah's Torah, and we said Nas Mishnah, there's no more death. Anyone in this room who has had the schus, and you haven't yet, in the Chiyuv Gomer, to do it, to learn Nefesh HaChaim, I don't know how you could live in this world as an Eved Hashem without learning through Nefesh HaChaim. In Nefesh HaChaim, in Shar Aleph at the beginning, Perek Vav, Perek Zayin, somewhere right over there, he discusses how by Kabbalah's Torah, by Har Sinai, we achieved the level of Adam Rishon Kodem L'Chet. We went back to that time. What was Adam Rishon Kodem L'Chet? There was no Misa in the world. If Adam Rishon didn't sin, there wouldn't have been Misa. Misa was only introduced into the world by the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. And by Har Sinai, we're able to go back prior, which we're still, that's what we're trying to do, tshuva and chaychayzer, but tshuva go back to that time again, which will be Bez Hashem b'mos b'shiach b'karav yameinu mamash. But there was no Misa. Beferish Gemara v'Adazar, I just read it to you. And Rav Chaim develops this at length. There was no Misa in the world. So if there's no Misa in the world, and Klal Yisrael seemingly knew this and understood that, why would they be confused by this Satan showing this image of Moshe that he died? Obviously it's something fake. Obviously it's not true. Obviously it's a facade. The Yetzer Hara is always creating facades for us. Every type in the world that we desire is one big facade. It's one big fake. Imagine there are how many numbers of Bnei Yisrael every single night nichshol in the worst of averus because of nothingness. So the Yetzer Hara creates imagery, and the Yetzer Hara creates desires and feelings and things in our life, and we think that it's all fake. It's nothing. It's a screen. It's smoke and mirrors. There's nothing even there, and we're excited because we look at a phone, and what's on the phone? Nothing. There's nothing really there. It's all one big facade. See, it's our, so we should have known. Emes is, we should have known it was a facade because there was no, the Malach HaMavis not Cholet. There was a, it was Cheres min Malach HaMavis by Matan Torah. So why were we confused at all? What's going on? So you have to understand, listen closely, Chevra. The Or Gedalia, Rav Gedalia Shor, Rav Avram Shor's father, he explains, based on the Torah from the Halakha Meshalach, from the Ishbitzer, that what is Misa? Or what is Tumah? Tumah comes from Misa, right? But you know what happens when there's death? Death is very much makusher, very much connected to Yish. You know what? This is Yish. Yish. Yish, we're not just talking Yish when we learn Ilim Mitzias. Yish is mamish giving up hope. Giving up hope on a situation, and unfortunately sometimes giving up hope on yourself. Bimis Yayesh. Think about it. When someone's sick, Lo Aleinu, when someone's Lo Aleinu sick, there's still tremendous hope. And we're davening, and we're doing mitzvahs, and bringing chusim. And the moment is Misa. What does Misa translate? Yish. Misa in Yish. At that moment, we give up. Nobody after Chas V'Shalom, unfortunately, hearing about a death. No one at that point then is davening for a Tchias HaMeisim. We're not doing that. Because this is Yish. Misa and Yish is one in the same. And that's why B'derech Machshava, Misa brings such Tumah. You know, the Tumah of Misa is the Yish in the Misa. Because whenever there's Yish, this it's Tumadik. Yish, when you give up, it's a source of chait, the source of yirida. When you don't believe in yourself, and you don't believe in your kochos, and you're misyayish in yourself, so you bring yourself to the lowest of places. You don't hold it out, especially you don't have the belief in oneself. And therefore the Yish is one with Misa and one with Tumah. When B'nai Yisrael thought through their calculation, through their irvavs, through their confusion, that Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, they were misyayish. If they were misyayish on some level, they gave up hope, they didn't believe, they didn't know what's going to be. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu, as all the Sfarim explain, all the Mefarshim explain, this parasha was their medium to connect to the Rabbeinu. They thought they lost that. They mamish were misyayish, they were so dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a Yish. When they were misyayish, you know what happened when they were misyayish? Misa came right back into the world. Because Yish and Misa is one and the same. Yish and Misa are interconnected in a sense. So it's true that what by Kabbalah Torah Misa was gone, but when they were misyayish by Moshe, immediately Misa came back. And therefore, because of their Yish, they could believe there was a Misa again. Because just like Misa brings Yish, Yish brings Misa. And it's one and the same. This is how Rav Shor explains. The emes is, we could have no concept of Yish. We could have no concept of Yish in Klal Yisrael. Any of us have learned a little bit of Rav Nachman. I could have brought Lakuti Maran and learned that all night tonight and just read you from every page of Lakuti Maran. But I want to show you, unfortunately some of us, when you learn Lakuti Maran, you don't understand, because the way Rav Nachman wrote his Torahs, he didn't write his Torahs, and some of them he sources somewhat with a little bit of a remez ladavir from a pasuk, from a makom, but really he's speaking his heart, and it's based on all of his ideas of Kol HaTorah Kula that he wrote his Torahs. So I could open up a Likutei Maran and just read Likutei Maran to you, but instead we're going to see the sources that all of Likutei Maran is based on, because every page of Likutei Maran is just telling you never be misyayish. Ein yish be'olam klal. Don't ever be misyayish in yourself. Don't ever be misyayish in situation. Believe that the Rabbanu Shlom is by your side, and you can't give up. And there's no place for Yish in Klal Yisrael. When there's Yish, there's Misa. And when there's Yish, there's a Chet Egel. That was the source. That's the Makar for Chet Egel. I was reading recently, and at the Svarim sale, Yitzchak.
I didn't get that.
You didn't get this? You gotta go back. You didn't get this. So I saw this. I happen to like his books. I bought this actually for my son. But Rabbi Yechiel Spiro has all the touch stories. All the touched books. This is Touched by Their Faith. To boost and enhance Amuna. And my son, Shmuel, he likes reading stories. And Lamaisa, not that Baruch Hashem, he's a mammon completely, but it's an area we all could improve on and grow in. And you saw it, you beside this of Yiddishkeit. I saw this there, I didn't have it. I said, okay, well, why not get it, right? Why not get it? Basically, what Yitzchak does by every single sefer on every shelf in this farm sale. So I did work for a few farm, but Lamaisa, so I opened the other day, I didn't know. The other day I opened up, I just read the first story. I read it a couple days ago. And then I started developing these Torahs. And of course, everywhere the Rabbeinu Shalom brings you, when you're learning Torah, it's all one. And it's going to be all one, not just with all the Torahs, but all the stories you read also. So the first story in the book, it starts about a Yid, Rav Moshe Friedman. He lives in some city near Haifa, and he was traveling home from London. I don't know, it doesn't say when this took place, but seemingly, you can tell by the story, years ago, it's during the lifetime of the Chazon Ish, or the door right after the Chazon Ish. Rav Moshe Friedman was traveling back from London to Israel, and there was a long line in London, in the airport, and he's waiting, there was some tumult, he wanted to go see what's causing the delay. So he goes up and he sees there's like an alter Yid, hunched over, hardly, you know, his eyes could hardly see over the counter, trying to talk to some individual from the airline. And the agent, Rav Moshe Friedman, he goes to the agent, what's the problem? He saw this alter Yid who hardly probably spoke any English and didn't. And so there was this Rav Moshe Friedman, he asked the agent, what's the problem? And the agent said, I'm trying to explain to him that this ticket is no good. So Rav Moshe asked the Yid, and didn't really even look at the Yid yet, just sees, can I see your ticket? Looks at the ticket. Somehow, I don't know how the confusion, he didn't know how the confusion happened. His ticket was a ticket from Israel to London, not from London to Israel. So he starts to explain it, and then the man says, listen, I'm a shliach mitzvah, I need to get to Yisrael, this woman's not going to stop me. You know, alter Yid, you know how they talk. At that point, Rav Moshe Friedman looks and he sees who's this Yid. The Yid's Rav Yankel Galinsky. Rav Yankel Galinsky was the Magid Yerushalayim, big tzaddik, Talmid Chacham. Moshe stepped back, he said, if Rav Yankel's saying he's going to be there, somehow he'll be on the flight. And he went back in the line, he didn't know what's going to be, but he was not going to fight with Rav Yankel. He figured he'll take a step out of this now. He finally gets through, and Rav Moshe Friedman gets to his seat, and he's walking onto the airport looking for his seat, and he sees his open seat, and who's the seat next to him? Rav Yankel Galinsky, the Magid. So of course, somehow he made his way on the flight, like he said he would, the woman's not going to stop him, he's going to be there, and not only was he there, he's going to sit, Baruch Hashem, he was Zoyche, Rav Moshe Friedman was excited, he's Zoyche to have the seat right next to him. So first of all, Rav Moshe sits down, and he places his luggage overhead, and the Yid, Rav Yankel, starts telling him, how, you see, I told you, you can never give up, you can never be Mesiyayish, you can never give up hope. We must continue any time a Yid gets stopped, you have to try and try again. And then he says to Rav Moshe, you want me to tell you where I learned this lesson? I'm going to tell you where I learned this lesson. Rav Yankel Galinsky was in the Holocaust, and his wife and child were killed by the Nazis. And he somehow made it out of Europe alive, but he was mamish depressed and as low as could be. And he didn't know what to do, he couldn't go on. He got to Eretz Yisrael, and he went to pour out his heart by the Heilig Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish told him a very famous story. The Chazon Ish said that there was a Yid living in Europe, I don't know, Chesish, wherever it was. And once a year, he'd go to the fair in Leipzig. And at the fair in Leipzig, he was very good at making deals, and he used to buy certain merchandise at the fair for a very good price, a nice amount of merchandise, and he was able to sell it for a tremendous profit. And from that couple days of the fair every year in Leipzig, he was able to make enough parnasa for the entire year. And every year this is what he did. This year, every year, that's what he would do. He'd go, and then he'd be good to go for the year. He'd make enough parnasa for his family. He said, and learn, all was good. One year, right before the fair, he got very, very sick. He was sick and he was in bed and he knew he wasn't going to make it. What's he going to do? His whole parnasa was dependent upon those few days. What's he going to do? So he decides, what's he going to do? He teaches his wife his trade. And he tells his wife what to look out for and how to know what to purchase and where the good deals are and who to sell them to, and teaches his wife everything. And his wife was very nervous. She didn't think she'd be able to pull it off the way her husband did, but what is she going to do? Ace, lastless, there's no one else that could do it, and it is what it is. My husband can't go, I have to go. And he gives her a big sum of money, and to go to purchase the merchandise and hopefully make the massive profits. And first she goes the first day to the fair, and mamish, she's completely unsuccessful. Everywhere she tries to buy something, someone outbid her. She couldn't get any good deals. She didn't know what she was doing. And mamish, she's depressed. She's sad. She's down. She didn't know. But she decides, okay, she's going to go to the inn where she's staying. And lemaisa, tomorrow's a new day. It'll be a better day, Bezaz Hashem. She gets back to her inn. And right when she gets in, she checks. And she realizes her purse, her pocketbook, whatever it was, with all her money, gone. And she realized at the fair, she put it down somewhere, forgot, and mamish gone. Now mamish, she's completely destroyed. Not only she made no profit, all the money she was given by her husband, she lost. Lemaisa, what's she going to do? She runs, and she's looking, she runs to the town square. She doesn't know what she's going to do, and then she suddenly sees a man in the middle of town square, standing, counting tons of money, mamish, tons of money. She runs over to him. Did you happen to, maybe you found this money? He says, yeah, I found this money. Sure, I found this money. He says, this is my money. This is for sure my money. You find it. Oh, yeah, you should be. So the man says, I'm not giving it back to you. He says, what do you mean not giving it back to me? It's my money. It might be it is your money, but you were definitely already misyayish. You definitely already gave up hope that you're not going to ever get it back. And he says, she said, you're right. I gave up hope. I didn't believe I'm ever going to get it back. But you know it's my money. You do the right thing. Give it back to me. He says, you're misjudged. Luckily, it's mine now. That's what he's claiming. So they're going back and forth. This is happening. A lot of people are gathering around them. And they decide, because with all the publicity, okay, they'll go to the Rav. Whatever the Rav says, that's what we'll do. So the Rav's listening first to the guy is explaining how she found this money, but she was for Ms. Yayish, certainly, and therefore it's my money. And the Rav's, it's a good claim, it's a good taina. So he asked the woman, what's the story? The woman says, listen, I don't know, I gave up hope, but all this money was given to me by my husband. My husband trusted me with the money. The Rav says to the woman, what did you say? He said, I lost all of my husband's money. The Rav says, give her back her money, it's hers. The man says, but she was misyayish. The Rav says, not her money that she gave up hope on finding. It doesn't belong to her. It's her husband's money. And if it's her husband's money, she has no right to be misyayish. It's not hers. Her husband never knew it was missing to be misyayish. It's her husband's money. Give her back. When the Chazon Ish finished sharing this story, he looked me in the eye and said, the Ribbono Shel Olam placed you on this world for a purpose. He wants you to build a life for yourself, a family. I know things have been difficult for you, and you want to give up hope, but it's not yours to give up. When I heard the story and the Chazon Ish's explanation, said Yeriankel, I realized that even when things don't appear to be going our way, the Ribbono Shel Olam placed us here for a purpose. Even if we want to give up hope, it's not ours to give up. We have no right to be misyayish. Ein yish b'yom klal. Ein yish b'yom klal. Klal Yisrael have no right to be misyayish. We have no right to be misyayish. We all have our pekulach. We all have difficulties in our life. We all have tough times. But we never can give up. You have to just put in more effort. And that's true begashmi and that's true beruchni. When you have difficulties going in your life, begashmi is when people have tzaras, when people have sicknesses, when people have... Never give up, never be misyayish. And beruchni is, lo aleinu, we fall beruchni is, we're having troubles with taivas, we're troubles with learning, troubles with kavan and davening, we all have these in times. Al tisyayish, you can't give up. You can't have, just put in more effort, and more amelis. That's what a yid does. As the Gemara in Brachos, Dav Yudam and Aleph tells us, Afilu charav chada munachas al savaro. Even if a sharp sword is laying on your neck, Shal adam al yivna atmo min arachmim. Don't refrain from believing in rachmim. There's a different gear in this Gemara, and it says al yisyayish min arachmim. Don't be misyayish. We never can be misyayish. Begashmi a beruchni. We can never be misyayish. Always just putting in more and more effort. So listen to this, Chevra. There's a very famous pasuk in our parasha. A very famous pasuk. Already after Chet HaEgel, when Klal Yisrael, as we see, on some level, misyayish, and not wanting to put on our crowns. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu a little bit later, very famous, V'ra'isa es achoyrai ufanai lo yehra'u. You will see my behind, my face you will not see. You all know this pasuk, right? V'ra'isa es achoyrai ufanai lo yehra'u. What does Rashi say in the Gemara and Brachos of Zayin and Aleph? V'ra'isa es achoyrai is talking about, look at my back. What did Moshe see in the back? You all learned this. What did he see? The kesher shel tefillin, right? The achoyrai is referring to the kesher of tefillin. So here we're referring to the kesher of tefillin. At this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, after Chet Egel, for some reason, the Torah is telling us that Moshe was able to see the back of Hashem's head, whatever that means, the kesher of tefillin. What's the significance? What's going on here? So the Gemara Chagiga, Daf Tesvav Mebeis, Gemara Chagiga says, Bizman Sha'adam Etztayr, when a person's suffering, whether we're suffering begashmi or beruchni, shchina ma. Sorry, bezmatch adam mistar shchina ma lashon omeres. When we're suffering, what's the shchina say? What's the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? Kalani meroishi, kalani mezroi. My head is hurting. My arm is hurting. What's the head and the arm connected? The tefillin. When we're bitzar begashmi beruchni, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, his tefillin are hurting. Why? Because we know the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Vav Amud Aleph says, Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, but what's written in the tefillin of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Maksiv Behu, what's written in them? Mi kamcha Yisrael goyach ha-baretz. Mi kamcha Yisrael goyach ha-baretz. We talk about Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Shecham, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, in our tefillin, the greatness of Hashem. Hashem's tefillin say, look how great Klal Yisrael is. Mi kamcha Yisrael goyach ha-baretz. But when we're suffering, when we're low begashmi or low beruchni, when you have individuals who are nichshal when it comes to arayis, when you have individuals that are not learning Torah, individuals that are not davening, individuals that are not living up to their par and are suffering, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Kolani mizori, kolani miroishi." My head and my arm, my tefillin are damaged. There's a begam; they're hurting because it's not mikam choyser goy chabart at that point. It's not mikam choyser goy chabart. So listen what the Halakha Chassam Sofer says. Chassam Sofer says in Torah Samayish, if you want to look it up, on the words V'Isa Sachar Pnei Le'Yara'u, that you have the tefillin of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have the tefillin of Panai, of Bnei Nechem, the front of the tefillin, which is obviously the Morchash of the tefillin themselves, with the parashios of Shema, and you have the Achurai, you have the back, you have the Kesher in the back. When we're able to see Panai, the Panai represents the Gilei Shechina, when all is beautiful and wonderful, when we're doing Ratzon Hashem, and Mamish, when the Keruvim and our Meruvim Zebezeh, and everything's beautiful, our relationship with Hashem is beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but some people will think, Lolein, if our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not beautiful, if we're bitzar, and we've fallen, and we're low, which we go through, each and every one of us at times on our own levels. So then the Ribbono Shel doesn't love me, the Ribbono Shel doesn't want to be with me, I don't have that relationship with the Ribbono Shel. Chas v'sholom. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, even at times where he says, "Upanai lo yirou," even at times when you don't see my panai, you can't see my tefillin in the front. However, v'ra'isas acharai, you could see it in the back. You're still connected. And where's in the back? The kesher shall tefillin, as Rashi says, which is Gemara Brachos. The kesher. I'm still connected to you. I'm still one with you. And this is what we have to believe. We have to believe in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even at times, upanai lo yirou, even at times that we're not so connected to Hashem begiloy in the right way, v'ra'isas acharai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and He's connected to us, and we're connected to Him. And we could dig our ways out, whatever the situation might be, begashmi beruchni. We have to believe in that, Chevra. And therefore comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, what do we start with? We started by asking, what's pshat? After Chet Egel, after everything, why do we lose our crowns? Because we delayed in putting on our crowns. What's pshat? So Rav Moshe Feinstein in Drash Moshe, if you have the big Drash Moshe, it's in the back, because really it was Chelek Beis, and then they made it into one in Parshas Kisisa, so if you want to look it up inside. Rav Moshe explains, when we delayed putting on our crowns, we were showing our yish. As the pasuk says, "Vayis abalu," we were in mourning. When is one in mourning? By Misa, when there's Yish. At that point, after hearing the Ribbono Shel Olam not take us in Eretz Yisrael, after hearing and going through the Magefa and everything, we thought, Hashem doesn't want to be with us anymore. Vayisabolu, we were in mourning. The Lo Shasu said, Yo, love, we didn't put on our crowns because we were Mitzyayish, that we didn't have the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, forget it, you don't deserve the crowns anymore. Until that point, we spit in its face, we had a golden calf, we fell low, we mamish, still you could keep your crowns, our relationship's still here. That's you might not panay liru, but reis as a choyrei. If we give up yish, that's when there's misa. That's when there's death. That's when it says that's visablu. That's when you lose the crowns. But each and every one of us in our lives, we go through ups and downs. Everyone goes through ups and downs on different levels. Some people's downs are other people's ups. That's MS. But everyone. Lefima Komo, we go through ups and downs, days when we're schmack and having great, unbelievable days in learning, days when it's a little harder, days when we're Baruch Shem defeating all the types of the world, days when it's struggling in taivas, days when our davening is very stark and full of kavana, and days where it's hard to even say every word of Shemon Esrei. Just like the Rabbeinu Shalom, there's never a time, even if Panay Lerov or Isas Achairai, we have to be the same way. Never be Misyayish. There's no Yish allowed in Klal Yisrael. No Yish allowed. Never give up. We do, as Rav Yankel Galinsky explained, we don't have the right to be Misyayish even. It's not ours to be Misyayish. Just like it wasn't that woman's money. It's not our goof. It's not our neshama. It's the Abishters. Who gave it all to us? We don't have the right to be Misyayish. Every day, we put in more effort and more effort. And the same is true of Ada, specifically when it comes to our learning. One of the places, as you move on in life, it's going to be more and more, trust me. And I'm not saying this is a klal, I'm telling you the reality. When you're in yeshiva, and learning full time. So Baruch Hashem, even on your worst of days, you're in yeshiva, and you have your siddurim that are set, and you're going to learn a nice amount of hours, but you're going to move on in life, and whatever avoid it's in, even if you're zoiche in avoid of chinuch, like I have the schus to be in, to have really a nice amount of time set aside to learn, there are days when I have so much to deal with, so much achrayas with tamidim, and with family, and situations, and mamish, sometimes situations that take precedence over my learning. Serious situations, real situations. I have chizuk from the words of Rechaim. I told you a story with Rechaim Kinevsky this goes years ago. Rechaim gave me, Baruch Hashem, it was amazing, some of the chavim in here. This already goes back maybe 6-7 years ago, I don't remember exactly, but after I said, Baruch Hashem, when I went to chinuch originally, Baruch Hashem, you have talmidim, it's beautiful. I didn't realize it, not till I was in chinuch for a few years and started having more and more talmidim, the amount of time that it is to be a Rebbe. The amount of times, I knew the amount of time you're in shir and a little bit of that, but I didn't realize every year you have more and more talmidim and more people you want to give to and more people you want to be there for. So it hit a point in my life and I'm realizing there's so little time to learn. And I didn't know how to balance. I still don't know how to balance. I still try not to sleep, but that doesn't really work. So it's like, you try to figure it out. But so I went to Chaim, I figured, who could I ask about this? There really is somebody that I know in the world is an humble but Torah in the highest levels and will be sensitive to Torah, but sensitive to understanding what I'm trying to do. Chaim Kinevsky, I want to ask him about it. I have this whole conversation on videotape. It's somewhere hidden in a computer that I don't know how to get to it, but it's there. Someone who knows about computers maybe could find it for me, but it's there. I don't know, Chvesnish, but maybe the Rebbe Shem doesn't want it, but it's there. It's there somewhere on some of these hard drives, Achim. But Lameisa, I went into Reb Chaim, and I said to Reb Chaim, I explained to him how I'm so busy, Baruch Hashem, with Talmidim, and answering questions, and talking Talmidim, that I have very little time to learn. What should I do? So first he says to me, all of that is also Talmud Torah. That's how he answered me, all of that's also Talmud Torah. So I said to him, maybe explain to him a little bit how I don't mean necessarily these are psak halacha. A lot of the situations I deal with Bachram, with the older Bachram for sure, but the younger Bachram, a lot are just talking and schmoozing and situations that are not necessarily Torah questions, are not really. So then he says, that's also a big mitzvah. That's also a big mitzvah. So I said, Rebbe, Lamaisa, then, if I answered, if I called back every single call that day, and I got back to every Talmud, and was also proactive in Talmidim that need to be reached out to, and spent all time, I wouldn't learn one word. How much should I make sure, at least the minimum, how much should I make sure that I'm learning every day? And this is coming from Chaim Kanievsky, who we know learns Kol HaTorah Kulo twice a year, Chesnesh, I don't know, whatever he goes through, who is Gabbai, told my Talmud that he finishes Shas every year before he davens Shachris, meaning he learns 7 blot a day every morning before he even davens Shachris, besides for all the other learning, which he calls his Chiyuvim, that he does every single day. He said to me, when I asked him, so how much should I Lamaisa make sure to learn? He says, just try to learn a little. That's what he said. So Vada, the Christ is what it is. But if you're not gonna be in chinuch, and you're gonna be in law, you're gonna be in medicine, you're gonna be in real estate, you're gonna be whatever it is, and you have so many, and you have a Christ, and one day you'll be zoich and have a wife and have children, and trust me, the ability to be amav Torah and to really sit and learn, it becomes less and less easy. And you have days when it's great and days where it's very hard. And even if you're kavei itim al Torah after a long day. And the end of the day, you say, but I learn every night, and you go, but is it going to be with a head and be knocking in the Gemara, really get into it, be able to be free of any other tier, then be able to learn on a level that we should be learning on? It's very hard. This is an area more than any other area that we need chizik not to be mishayish, and to put in amelos, and to put in hard work. And the pasuk tells it in Zuk's parsha as well. Very famous pasuk, beginning of Sheni. Vayitein. Good. Vayitein al Moshe kakalosol adabrito. Hashem, he gave it to Moshe when he finished talking to him. Bar Shdinai, shnei luchos edos. He gave the luchos, he gave the Torah to Moshe. What does it mean he gave the Torah to Moshe at this point? So maybe Pshat is from the Talmud Yerushalmi, a famous Yerushalmi. But I don't know if the end, the last few words of the Yerushalmi are as famous as the beginning of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Horios, in Paragim alachahei, listen to this. Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, "Kol oisan arbaim yom shasa Moshe barar." All the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain, hayolama Torah, he learned Torah. Umishkacha, every day he learned and he forgot. He learned and he forgot. Ubisoif, and in the end, nas nalo b'matana. After every day, learning and forgetting, in the end, Hashem gave it to the Matana. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu. Why would he forget every day? He's Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, so that everyone, that part probably everyone learned, but I don't know if everyone learned the next part. And the Gemara goes on, Kol Kach Lama. Why so much? Why did Hashem make this that he'd forget every day and have to give it a Matana to help? Bishvil Hachzer Satifshin. To bring back those who are a little Tifshin. What are Tipshin? Tipshin literally means intellectually challenged. Say it nicely, right? We have to be politically correct. We're not going to go there. So comes the Pnei Moshe. The Pnei Moshe. You know what Pnei Moshe was? Pnei Moshe is the Pirush under Yishalvi. Rav Moshe Margulis. Pnei Moshe, who lived in the 1700s, was the Rebbe of the Vilna Goyen. Imagine, the Rebbe of the Vilna Goyen. The Rebbe of the Gra. So Pnei Moshe says this, well, imagine what it is to be the Rebbe of the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen was like a Tana, basically. I mean, so Pnei Moshe says as follows. What do you mean, Lahachzer Tipshin? Those Shesheichzin Ma Shaloimdim. It gave chizik to those who forget what they learn. Anyone connect to that a little bit? Those of us who forget what we learn? Shalo Yomru, a person shouldn't say, Ma lana liyiga b'chinam. What are we going to put in so much effort? It leads nothing. I hardly know anything. That tshuva mi Moshe. The tshuva comes from Moshe. He himself, Shoyachoyzer v'loymeid. He continued to learn and learn day in and day out. Af shoyamishkach. Even though he continuously was forgetting it. Ad lebsof shenitin lo matana. Until at the end it was given to him as a matana. Meaning what? We can't have Yish in our learning, just like we can't have Yish in our Avodas Hashem. And Klal Yisrael is punished because they had Yish in their Avodas Hashem, in their relationship with Hashem. But so too Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us, don't have Yish in our learning. We have to put in more and more effort, and in the end it will be given to us Matana. And that's the Beferish Gemara in Megillah, the Vav and Mabez that we all know. Yogati umatzasi tamin. Yogati umatzasi tamin. If you put in effort, matzasi. Matzasi the metzia, you'll find it. It doesn't say yogati vitzlachti. Not that I'll be successful, but you'll find it. It'll be a matana. That if you put in effort, it's guaranteed you'll be successful in your learning. It's guaranteed. And it might not be that day. It might be later on. Yogati matzasi tamin. You know, it's amazing. I always... you all heard that Gemara, and it's a very famous Gemara, and I quote it often. It's a Gemara I try to live my life by. I always get confused whether that Gemara is Vav Mabez Megillah or Zayin Mabez Megillah. I always get confused. Why? Because what's the other one? Is Chayav Inish L'Psume Beporia. Chayav Inish L'Psume Beporia is Zayin Mabez. You got from Sazi Tam and is Vav Mabez. For some reason, V'nahapachu, I don't know, I always... I'm telling you, I always get confused. Is Chayav Inish L'Psume Vav Mabez or Zayin Mabez? And is Yigati Mabez Vav Mabez Zayin Mabez? Everyone in this room connects on a deep way and knows how emesdik and how important Chayav Inish L'Psume Beporia is. That Vada, I'm even Yavim, we don't have to go into it right now, but we all connect to that in a very deep way. On whatever level we connect to it, but we connect it in a very deep way. Vada as well, the Rabbeinu Shem wants us to know that just as important as Chayav Inish L'Psume and much more important is Yigati Matzasi Tamin. Yigati Matzasi Tamin. You got the Matzasi Tamin, and that's the Veda of this Yerushalmi and Harius. Listen to the Halakha words of the Sfas Emes. Listen to the Halakha words of the Sfas Emes. This is from Parshas Yisro. On the words, you got the Matzasi Tamin. He's first by giving the Pshat. Mashaba Yede Yegia, Eich Yitokin Lomer Lasha Metzia. Why is it called a Metzia? It should be Vatzlachti. If you worked hard, what do you mean you found it? Veishav Ke'em Bekoach Yegia Levolo Malas Torah. The MS is, with all Yigiyah, it's not your koach that brings you the greatness in Torah. Rak al yidei ha-Yigiyah, through hard work. Zoichin limtso ha-Torah, b'chinos matano metzia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you work hard, that's when He'll give you the matana, but it's always the matana. As Moshe Rabbeinu was given the matana. V'nirali od ki l'ramos shagam she'enu d'margish ha-Torah b'kama Yigiyahs. And this is the chizik, listen to the Halakha Gemara, this Sfas Emes. Even if you sit and learn, you sit and learn, you sit and learn, and you don't feel that you're getting anywhere with it. She'ain on the magish, atol bekam yigiyas. You learn, you're putting in effort, you just feel like it's going nowhere. Avol emes ki b'chol yigiyo zoichin l'toyra b'zman macherim. Every time you put in effort, you'll be zoichin Torah. But it just will come at different times. You might not feel it on the time. There will be a metziah. It's going to be there. Ki atoyra l'malam in ateva. Torah is above nature. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives times when the gates of Torah open up. And it's according to how much effort you put in always in Torah. You're zoicha that at those times the Shara Torah will open up. And the floodgates, and there will be a Metziah, there will be a Matana. It might not be on the spot, but you got the Matzasi Tamen. Altis Yayesh. Don't have yish in your avodas Hashem. Don't have yish in your Torah. But it has to come through amelus, through yigiyah. You guys know what yigiyah is? You know what amelus is? I'm reading amelus. Some people think amelus is just in minutes. That you sat for 2 hours. You sat for 3 hours. You sat. That's also amelus. It's a lost art. It's a lost art to what it is to sit and sit and sit for hours. One of my rabbeim from high school I saw today. Rabbi Fine. He was my 12th grade rabbi. Lives in Far Rockaway, and he was lamenting to me today how he remembers and how he did. He sat and learned in the Rav's Shir in Veshaber. He said we said Shir would be 2 hours long, 3 hours long. He said in the summers he'd go learn by Boston 5 hours straight. 5 hours straight Shir. We, after 45 minutes, are going crazy. Mamish looking at the watch. It's so hard. An hour Shir. Rav Shechter gives an hour and a half. How did the guy sit in that? And Mamish is like... To sit, what it is to sit. We have to sit. That is fine, but it's not just, that's not all that Amelus is. I'm reading this book right now. I've been quoting it recently in different shiurim. The God Adar of Rav Yashiv. It's the biggest chizik to me because it was written by someone that I have the schus to have had a close relationship with, especially his brother, who was a close friend of mine, Mordechai Kirchner, his younger brother. If I started to talk now at the table, this is recorded, I can't right now, but It says it was inspiring stories how it was told firsthand by an American boy, Ben Bias, or Binyamin Kirshner. I know him as Rob. We used to play ball together back in the day. This Yid went to Ner Jacob of Shalom. Whoever knows what Ner Jacob is? Ner Yaakov? Ner Yaakov was a breakoff of Neve back in the day. That's where he was in Eretz Yisrael. I'm Avin Yavin, you understand. And he became a Ben Bias Bel Rav Yashiv and wrote a Kuntris on Baba Basra and sitting and learning in the mirror where a person could become, who he could become. And that he wrote this Sefer on Rav Yashiv, and it's a Sefer, it's a Muslim Sefer, you should all read it. Every page is changing my life, Mamish. Every page is changing my life. I find myself over the last couple weeks reading this book, learning in ways I haven't learned in a long time, Baruch Hashem. And I know it's from the chizik of this book. My wife made a comment to me even like the other day, what's going on? She was noticed, whatever. Whatever it was, I don't want to explain, but I said it's the book, it's the book, it's really just the book. It's not my fault. So basically, the whole Sefer, it's funny, I was telling Rabbi Leibowitz about the Sefer the other day. He told me he read another Sefer in Rav Yashiv that was amazing, but basically he's like, what can you say about Rav Yashiv? Every page just said he learned all day, you know? So you could say it, how many different ways can you say he learned all day nonstop? And then all day he learned nonstop, and every day he learned nonstop, and nonstop did he learn. Like, there's only so many ways you could say that he learned all day and never stopped learning. I don't know, this book says a lot more than that. And every page, that's all true. But somehow in between all that, he was the biggest Bambidus in the world. And in between all that, he just, as a mamish, you have to read it. But I want to read one story to understand what true Amelus is. And it's not just in time, even though Rav Yashiv would wake up every morning 2:30 in the morning and learn for 3.5-4 hours before Shacharis and then learn all day long, and he learned about 18 hours a day. So in time, Yivada was doing it. But listen as well, because this is just a lesson in what true Amelus is, what Yigiyah is, that Yigiyah that will end up with the Zuchiyah and the Altis Yayish, we can't give up hope. Just put in more Amelus. Talmud Chacham asked Rav Yashiv, my wife is in the habit of singing in the house when she's putting the children to bed. I want to know if I'm permitted to hear her voice while I'm studying Torah. There's more to the story. There's a note on the bottom that the wife was in Nida, perhaps. Okay. Rav Yashiv listened to the response. It's not about the question while I'm reading the story. Rav Yashiv looked at him in confusion. I don't understand your question. What kind of question is that? The young man repeated his question and asked, what doesn't the Rav understand? I'm sitting and learning at home, and I can't help hearing my wife singing. Am I allowed to continue learning? Again, Rav Yashiv said, I still don't understand. I've never heard of such a question. The young man repeated his question a third time. This time the Rav finally said to him, I don't understand your Shaila. How can it be that you're sitting and learning, and yet you're still able to hear someone else? When a person sits and learns, he shouldn't be able to hear anyone else. If a person is learning diligently, his ears shouldn't be absorbing anything from the outside. And that was MS. That's MS. That's the way Rav Yashiv learned Torah. He was completely absorbed in the Torah. He was one with the Torah. There was nothing else that existed. Thus is Amelus B'Torah. That's what Amelus B'Torah is. Amelus, Vad is also in the amount of time. But more than that, it's how we're learning. Are we one in the Torah? But we learn Torah, as I've discussed up in here, with our phone in our pocket and checking every 5 minutes our WhatsApp and our text, and it's buzzing and it's this, and I learn for 10 minutes and I learn for 15 minutes. Wow, I just learned for a half hour straight. I need to go. Time to go get a drink. I gotta go get a drink. And now the YU, they made the new base medrash. You go right outside the base medrash that you could have every snack in the world and drink in the world. And it's mamish, I need my break and I need a. Do this because today I learned 45 minutes straight with no other distraction. Some of that says the Maila. But Lamaisa, Amelus means there's nothing else to exist during my time that I'm learning. And that's Yigat Yimatazi Tamin. That's when you'll be Zoicha to places in Torah you don't even know existed within you. That's when. And if you're not there yet, Altis Yayish. And if you don't understand the Torah you're learning yet, Altis Yayish. Just as if we're falling in Yiddishkeit, Altis Yayish. There's not a place for Yiddish. That's the lesson. The lesson of Chet Egel, perhaps, is never be Mis Yayish. Always just grow and grow and put in effort, and you got the Yimatzasi Taman in every area of Avodas Hashem. And I want to tell you what we'll be doing to, and that's just listen to this. This is Torah I just chanced upon. I was looking up the Chassam Sofer that we quoted before, which I saw quoted in Alekach Valibov, and the bone so brought my eyes to look to the side of the page and see another Sofer, because I saw the word Gematria. That's really what happened. Emes. Emes is in the Chassam Sofer on the same words, on the words as we quoted before. On the words we quoted before, we'll read it inside. So I was reading the piece that I wanted to read through that Rav Shor quoted, and then my Bach, I saw the word Gematria, and I just had to read the piece. Listen to this Nevuah from the Chassam Sofer. Mamish Nevuah from the Chassam Sofer. Ruch HaKadosh Chassam Sofer. I know it's not a Zohar, but this Torah is just as good. This Torah, Mamish needed mikvah today. If we didn't go to mikvah, as we said, we just learned Torah for the past 45 minutes or whatever it was. So mikvah Yisrael Hashem, we're all in a mikvah. Listen to this Torah, Mamish's Torah. So we said pshat is the whole Torah that we're talking tonight. That even upnai le'yirahu, even if you don't feel so close to Hashem, if you're not getting all the Torah you want to learn, if you're not so close, v'isas achareh, you always can see the achareh. We're always connected to the kasher of tefillin, right? That's what we said from the Chassam Sofer. But listen to what else the Chassam Sofer says. Yav Panai and Yav Achayrai. So Panai, for sure, like we said, is more of a revelation of Hashem. And Achayrai is a secondary, is when the Kaddish is a little more hidden for a little bit of Achana, for the Megillah Esther, for Purim, for when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden a little bit. When we're not as close to the Rabbanu Shalom. When we need to not be Mishyayish, right? That's Purim. That's what Purim's all about. It's Chavar, right? Oh, I can't wait. That's Hashem's Baruch. Bekar of Mamish, Bekar of Mamish. Mamish 4 weeks from right now. I don't know what's going to be going on. Something's going to be going on here. I mean, hopefully we'll all be in Yerushalayim Er Kodesh. But if not, especially on a Thursday night going into Shabbos, everyone's invited all night. If we don't sleep, if you sleep on the floor, but we'll get there. Bezal Hashem is Baruch. Anyways, L'maisa. Varisa Zachayra Panay Leiru. Listen to this. So you have the Ochayra of Hashem and the Panay of Hashem. The Achayrei is when he's more hidden. The Achayrei of Hashem. So Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei, as we all know, is Gematria 26. What are the Achayrei of Yud Kei Vav Kei? What's Achayrei? The after it. After Yud Kei Vav Kei. So after Yud is Chaf. After He is Vav. After Vav is Zayin. And after He is Vav. Chaf, Vav, Zayin, Vav are the letters Achayrei. The letters after Yud Kei Vav Kei. Chav Vav Zayin Vav is one of the Shemos of Hashem as well. It's written in the back of a Chvesish, in the back of a mezuzah. You'll see, if you open it up, you'll see. It's the letters after Yud Kei Vav Kei. So if you take Yud Kei Vav Kei 26, plus Chav Vav Zayin Vav is 39. 39 plus 26 is exactly 65. 65, if you take the Achayrei of Hashem, which is Gematria, when it's saying now 65, Chav Vav Zayin Vav plus Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Gematria 65, is Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. Adnos. So I wanted to, he didn't say it like this, but I want to say Pshat. What's Pshat? In the Zman of Hester, like now, what do we call Hashem? We're not allowed to say Shem Hashem like we are. When we have Beis HaMikdash, Kohen Gadol is going to say Shem Hashem. We're not allowed to say Shem Hashem. We don't say Shem Hashem. What do we call it? Adnos. We still know that he's a master of the world. We refer to it as Ad Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So in the Zman of Achayrei, we have what? We have the Yud Kei Vav Kei of Achayrei, which is Adnos. But what's going to be? We're going to be Zoyche when we see, not Upanai Loyeru, when we're Zoyche to see Gila Shechina. When you're going to know V'yadatim Ani Hashem, you're going to know Ani Hashem in that Zman. So if you take, what's the letters? Panai, the letters before Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the letter before Yud Kei Vav Kei, before the Yud is Tes, before the He is Dalid, before the Vav is He, before the He is Dalid. Tes, Dalid, He, Dalid, which is another name of Shem Hashem. Tes, Dalid, He, Dalid, which is Gematria 22. So when you, but in that, the Zman of Gila Shechina, you're going to have both Panai and Achayrei. You don't forget about Achayrei, that's part of the Rabbanim as well. So you have Yud Kei Vav Kei 26, you have the Achayrei 39, you have the Panai, which is 22. What's 26 plus 39 plus 22 is 87. 87 Pei Zayin, and Acharad Mizav, when we pause Rav, pause, right? Pei Zayin is Gematria Ani Hashem. V'yadatem Ani Hashem. in the Zman of Panay, in the Zman when we're going to see, will be Zoyche, to not just Adnus, but you'll know Yud Kei Vav Kei Ani Hashem. Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zoyche. If we're Zoyche to not be Mitzyayish, we'll be Zoyche to not be in the despair and not ever give up hope. We'll be Zoyche not just to Re'isa Zacharai, but we'll be Zoyche to Re'isa Panay. We'll be Zoyche to Yedatim Kani Hashem. We'll be Zoyche to Azman of Mashiach, to Kenu, Bimhera, Bi'Amen.
Amen.